change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which are many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Standing as we look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon our service today as we lift up Christ and Him crucified. And Brother Pat Patterson, would you lead us please in our prayer this morning? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated and welcome to our morning services today. We'll be closing the doors there shortly and it'll be nice and cool in here and you will enjoy the services without being distracted by the heat. We heard from our son in Colorado. It was about, I think it got up to 40 degrees up there. Snow was coming down, you know, from the sky. And out here, no comparison. Anyway, it just goes to show you. 2 weeks ago, they were having rain. Now they're having snow. And we, 2 weeks ago, we were having sunshine. And now we're still having sunshine, aren't we, Lord? Yeah. Amen. All right. We've got a good service planned for you today. We've got some good songs, special music coming on. By the way, we had some good special music last night, didn't we? That was really wonderful. And speaking of last night, Brother Sam Burton was gone, and he attended a seminar put on by Friends of Israel. Take a minute to tell us about that, Brother Sam.
Okay, we support, as a church, we support the mission Friends of Israel. of being at this seminar all day yesterday. It was one of the best seminars I've ever been to. It was absolutely excellent in every way. The sessions, I wish that I could share with you all of the notes I took and the expositions of the scripture. I mean, all the way, Israel, past, present, future, the rapture, the kingdom, the coming of the Lord Jesus, all of the beautiful, good teaching. There were at Mount Miguel, there were over 100 people there. A good question period. Afterwards, these two guys sat out there and answered questions about the harbinger, about Messianic Judaism, about Gog and Magog. There was a question period. Very, very excellent seminar. So thank you very much for that, and praise the Lord. It was great. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Wonderful. You that do not subscribe to Israel My Glory, better get on it. It's free. And I'll tell you, you won't find any better theology anywhere than in that book. It's wonderful. All right. Brother David, come lead us in some more good singing.
396. Number 396. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his hope. Showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of this saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace, more, more about Jesus, more, more about died for me.
Would you all stand and we'll sing number 519. And would the ushers please come at the end of the song, please. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Amen.
Brother Roger, lead us in prayer, please.
Father God, again, we are very thankful for this place. And great is your faithfulness for all of your provisions you provided for each and every member here presented today. Father, quiet our hearts and our minds that we would be attentive to the things that you have laid upon our pastor's heart.
fingers in your ears.
Well, this is a little thing from last night.
Just a young boy in the temple one day shared with the doctors, they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young speak so swift. They asked him many questions. The conversation went like this.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus, but on my father's side, I am Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years, but on my father's side, I've just always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arise, and I'll sit at my father's side. He was the Son of God, yet the Son of Man. And I can't help but wonder how Joseph might have felt. Through an open door that day, he heard his son reply. He said, you see, I'm the King of Kings that's on my father's side.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, I am Emmanuel.
How old
on
are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my father's side, I've just always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arise, and I'll sit at my father's side.
Thank you. Appreciate that from Fred and Kitty.
That's a country voice if I ever heard one.
All right. That's it. we're going to have another one. Brother Johnny's going to sing for us. While he's coming up here, I want to remind you that the Lancasters are not with us this morning. Eileen was supposed to be here, but she got a call from her husband to pick her up at the hospital. He's been in the hospital, Brother Bud has, for 3 days, and she's picking him up today out at Kaiser. She had thought that he would be discharged after church, but she got the call, come get him. I guess they were tired of him out there. So anyway, that's where the Lancasters are today. Be in prayer for Susie, our daughter. She's had her third of six of her chemo treatments. After that, she's going to have that goes through December the 30th, and then after that, she's going to have 5 weeks of radiation, 5 days a week. Now that's 25 shots of that stuff. And Sue went Wednesday for her last chemo, and she's here today with us. We appreciate that. And be in prayer for other sick of our congregation, and pray for Abel and for Wayne, and, you know, all of our sick folks. They're listed on your bulletin there, okay? And, oh, we've got Rosemary with us today. She's a first-time visitor with us. We appreciate her being here with us in our services. And another young lady sitting over here, I almost forget her name, but she found her way home. The state of California has not moved her house yet. But they're getting close to it, aren't they? Fran lives right down here at the end of Palomar Street, where there used to be a bridge across the highway. And she's been in Arizona.
Pastor Laurie has pre-op appointment on Wednesday for her surgery, probably on the 18th of this month. So we need to keep her in prayer.
All right. And we've kept you in prayer, and glad to see you walking without a cane today. And tell us about Roger Jr. How's he doing? Good. He had the back operation, you'll remember, and was on our prayer list. All right. And yes. Oh my.
Her ribs came fractured a little bit, and she couldn't breathe. She's having a hard time to breathe, so she doesn't go to work. And right now she's the only financial provider, because her husband doesn't have any job. He was laid off.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
Her name is Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Yeah,
Rosemary. All right. Thank you, Mary. All right. Are you ready for our Johnny?
Yeah.
Brother John.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I've been listening to you guys saying all the sicknesses and discomfort that has come upon us. You know, I have to continue to tell myself this too all the time, that one of these days it's going to be all over with, and that I just have to hold on to the blessed hope of my Lord Jesus Christ, because, you know, I trust him because he does not lie. He's not like man that has to lie. I trust him with all my heart and soul. And he said that one day that I'm going to be with him. And that is my hope, and that should be your hope this morning. One of these days, we shall see him as he is. One of these days, we shall get home. Please.
Oh, I have a God that changes not. Though through this world my soul has fallen, then why should I then be perplexed, when I know that he will lead me to the end? Now we shall get home, O child of God. Though through the darkness you must try his blood and me. shall get home someday.
Now let's just praise God, give glory to Him, for one day we'll see Him face to face. Oh, now when the left here with our eyes, now there's waiting for us a grand surprise. We shall await, oh, in God's embrace. We'll be at home, oh, then we'll be in pain. We shall get home. His blood has made for us a way, and we shall get home someday. Oh, no empty chair, no vacant place. Will that be at God's table or grave? Oh, not this same Lord that has rescued me. Oh, it will not forsake the home we'll see. Now we shall get home. Oh, now child of God, now look through this darkness, we must God, His blood and name, over us away, and we shall get home someday. Away. And we shall get home, oh, now someday. Hold on, dear saints. Hold on, baby. Hold on.
On Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, we still have Bible study around here. We're studying in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I invite all of you to come out to that Bible study. And tonight, in our evening service at 6 o'clock, Brother Sam Burton is going to be preaching for us. So you'll appreciate that. Remember that. Open your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles 7:14 is a verse that everyone should have highlighted in their Bible. All of God's word is important, but there's some of it that just jumps out at you, and this is one of them. This is God speaking, and He says to us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Folks, I've lived in this United States all my life. I've been in other countries, and I haven't found a one of them that I like better than the one that I'm in. And since I started to school a long time ago, I've studied the history of our nation, and I feel that I know something about it. In fact, I was one of its defenders back during World War II. I am a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather, and I would like my children and my children's children to have the same rights and the privileges and the freedoms during their lifetime that I have enjoyed in mine. But I'm also a student of the Bible. And as I read God's Word, I come to the conclusion that we are today living in what we call the last days. And these last days are the days just prior to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're told that perilous times will come. That means that instead of things getting better, they're going to continue to get worse. I hate to have to say that to you, but it's the truth. It's God's Word. Jesus, in fact, said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So how was it in the days of Noah? Go back over to Genesis chapter 6 and you'll find out. Way back yonder, about the year 2439 BC, God said this. He said the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He said every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. He said the earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. He said all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And that's just in the first 13 verses of the sixth chapter of Genesis. Judgment came upon that generation in the form of a flood that destroyed all flesh on the face of the earth except 8 people. That's the way it was in the days of Noah. In Luke 17, verse 28, Jesus said, as it was in Sodom in the days of Lot. Remember that? How was it then? It was filled with corruption, violence, immorality, and depravity. They had an awful lot of homosexuality and same-sex marriage in those places. Back in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, Jesus is the one who said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now, the sins of those cities became so bad, so grievous, that God determined to destroy them by raining down fire and brimstone from heaven upon them, which he did. But before he did it, he said, I'm going to talk this over with Abraham. Abraham asked God, he said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare it? And God said, yes, I will. Abraham got to thinking, maybe there's not 50. He said, Lord, how about 40? God said, yep, if there's 40 righteous people there, I'll spare it. How about 30? Yes. How about 20? Yes. How about 10? God said, yes. But you know, there were only 4 that were found. And because of that, judgment came, and those wicked cities were overthrown, never to be rebuilt again. I'm talking about the judgment of God upon the sin and wickedness of cities and nations, and indeed the world as it was in the days of Noah. Back in the year 772 BC, a fellow by the name of Ashurdan III was king of Assyria, which is today known to us as Syria, where a war is going on, a civil war that is just about to draw us into it. God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh, their capital, to proclaim their coming destruction. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But something happened. Those people were fast becoming a great world power. But they presented an imminent threat to Israel. They were and still are a cruel, violent, arrogant, brutal, cold-blooded race of people who have no respect at all for human life. Yet when Jonah preached, those people repented at the preaching of Jonah, and they put on sackcloth and ashes to prove it. The Bible says that, including their king, they all turned from their wicked, evil ways. That's repentance. And they believed God. That's faith, isn't it? And they proclaimed a fast, and they covered themselves with sackcloth and sat in ashes. God saw their works, and God repented of the destruction that he had planned for them. Now, as for Judah, or Israel rather, in 721 BC, the 10 tribes of Israel who had revolted at the death of Solomon and formed their own nation, named it Israel, they were overthrown by King Sargon, the king of Assyria. The city of Samaria, their capital, was besieged for 3 years. And then listen to what the Word of God says. 2 Kings 17, verse 6. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and 27,290 Israelites were carried away captive into Assyria. Why? He tells us, because the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. See, sin is the cause of this. It was sin that caused the destruction of the world. It was sin that caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And sin, listen to this in chapter 18, verse 12, sums it up. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, but transgressed his covenant
and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. They were disobedient, stiff-necked, hard-hearted against the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 24, I'm giving you these illustrations of what God does. The Lord sent bands of Chaldeans, Syrians, Moabites, and Ammonites against the nation of Judah to destroy it. This was in 605 BC. This kingdom that had once known God had fallen so low that the land was filled with altars to strange gods, covered with the blood of its children. Many Jews at this time, including Daniel and the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the burning fiery furnace a little later on, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, them, their king, and all of his family were taken captive to Babylon. But the people who remained in Judea did not turn to the Lord, neither did they seek his face. So, 7 years went by. And in 598 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came up against Jerusalem a second time and besieged their city. Pardon me. Now this second time, he carried away all of the treasure of the temple. He went into the Jews' temple and stripped it. They had a lot of gold and silver in there, and took it to Babylon. He went into the king's house, the palace, took all the valuables out of it, and took with him all of the princes of Judea, 7,000 mighty men. Again, took their king Jehoiakim and 10,000 other captives. Again, no national repentance for the nation. They didn't repent. 10 years later, in 588 BC, the city of Jerusalem was besieged again, this time for 18 months. And finally, on July the 9th, 586 BC, King Zedekiah, they took him. They killed all of his children so there would be no one to succeed him. And then they put his eyes out and carried him captive to Babylon. That time, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, tore all the houses, buildings down. They destroyed the beautiful temple that Solomon had built. Not one stone was left upon another. The place was in ruins. They burned everything that would burn. And the 70-year Babylonian captivity began. This nation, which at one time had known God, this nation which had witnessed the power of God and knew that God kept his word, they seemed to deliberately anger him with their careless disobedience. They flaunted their sins in his face. Now listen, I've given you all of this in these accounts to see if there's anything in these that we can learn from. The Bible says that they were written down for our learning and for our admonition. But can we learn anything from it? Are we admonished at all? I wish I could answer that question in the affirmative, but I can't. I can't. We could continue on with many more examples, going back and talking about those great empires of the past. That Assyrian Empire was overcome by the Babylonians in 606 BC. Then the Babylonian Empire was overcome by the Medes and the Persians in 538 BC. The great Medo-Persian Empire was overcome by Alexander the Great and Greece in 331 BC. The Grecian kingdom was overcome by the Romans, insofar as the Jews were concerned, about 64 BC, and the Roman Empire officially went out of business about AD 476. They are gone. Now let's take a brief look at our nation in light of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And let's see if and how that verse of scripture written so many years ago could possibly apply to us. Why do you think things are happening in this country like they are? Is there a plausible explanation for it? Our government today, they say, is shut down. Shut down over what a lot of people say is Obamacare, and threatens to further bankrupt our citizens by its outrageous finances. We got problems on Wall Street. Some of you are going to become paupers. You've got all your money tied up in stocks and bonds and Wall Street, and when the market crashes, you're going to be out here on the corner, street corner, with a tin cup begging. Yeah. Well, what's Wall Street, I ask? Yeah. Well, that's a place where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. What about the collapse in our housing market? All of the defaults, the foreclosures, the bankruptcies. What about all of our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Egypt and Syria and all of that? Our failing foreign policies, government takeovers, a massive spending, and a national debt of over $16 trillion. How about a reduction of our work week from 40 hours to 29 so that the company will not have to pick up our medical insurance premiums? How about the rising cost of the necessities of our life, like our utilities, food, housing, gasoline, education? And how about through Obamacare, the government's going to find out all about every one of your aches and pains. They're going to control your medication. There will be some little clerk drawing minimum wage that will be telling the doctor what they can and can't do to you when you get sick. They'll be telling you what kind of medicine you can take or what kind of operation the doctor can perform on you to cure your ills. I don't have to worry about that. I'm 87 years old. I'm already on their death list. Do you think they're going to spend a lot of money to keep somebody like me alive? Good night, no. If I break a leg, I'm like a horse. Shoot him. And we've got a Homeland Security that's recording all of your telephone calls. And they know all of your internet accesses. And you're paying for it. Look on your bill. I've got AT&T and I pay $6 and some odd cents a month for them to, for the government to record everything that goes on to my computer. They've got all my sermons. Amen. And they listen in. And AT&T also charges you, the government, to record all of your telephone calls and store them in case they ever want to listen in on any of your telephone conversations. No privacy anymore. Anyway, could one of the causes, I don't want to get political with you, but could one of the causes of our situation today be the murder of infants by abortion? Did you know that that is the number one cause of death in our nation today? Did you know that today a mother's womb is the most dangerous place in this world to be? You're more apt to be killed in a mother's womb than you are on the highways and with guns in this country. How can we condemn the acts of King Herod when he went down to Bethlehem and killed all of those children, 2 years old and younger, when we have this going on in our own country? We're standing on shaky ground. And we have vicious gangs in our society today, the equivalent of homegrown terrorist organizations. I was awakened at 1 o'clock this morning. Must have been 100 people about 150 feet from my house that were having a big party, orgy, drunkenness, narcotics, everything else. Everybody was shouting at the top of their voice. They had music turned up as loud as it would go, and it continued until 4 o'clock this morning, and nobody did anything about it, not even me. You say, well, why didn't you call 911? Because before I could hang up the telephone, I would have been swamped by a whole bunch of them with guns and knives and everything else, and been somebody else in the pulpit this morning. You say you fear those people? I fear no evil, for the Lord's with me. But I'm not going to deliberately put myself out in a position like that. The moral condition of our nation is reflected by the astronomical rise in the number and in the power of homosexuals, same-sex marriage, and the social pressure that's being brought to bear on our citizens who engage in such atrocious activities, such as the sex education of our little kids in kindergarten, free abortion to the students that gets pregnant without parental notification, the legalization and of the possession and use of all kinds of illicit drugs that used to be against the law, prayer and Bible reading is prohibited in our educational system, and pretty soon they're going to add going to church to it. That's the next step. They'll be asking your kid when they go to school on Monday morning, did you go to church yesterday? And if they say yes, okay, you're expelled from this school because you must be a Christian or you've been exposed to it. But back to our text, God says, if my people, which are called by my name. It doesn't refer to the Muslims in Congress. It doesn't refer to the mindless pagan unbelievers who are entrenched in positions of power and influence in our government. They do not qualify as God's people. They're not called by His name. But we are. This call to repentance goes out to Christians, to believers, to the saved, to the church going, born again, children of God. And we're called upon to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. You know, our nation, if you'll check back, was founded on prayer. Now, prayer is outlawed. It's against the law to talk to God. I believe a nation that turns away from God in prayer will eventually find itself desperate, in desperate need of it. We need to return to God in prayer, and prayer is more than God bless America. And turn from their wicked ways. God wants Christians to turn from their carnality, their impurity, their greed, their materialism, their vanity, their self-obsession. And only by repentance can judgment be averted. It's got to be a true turning from darkness to light. Look what happened in Nineveh. And they weren't even God's people. Christians need to repent of their apathy, their complacency, their compromise, and their omissions. Let me give you a scripture that you haven't heard for a while. And this is just as much the Word of God as John 3:16. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him or her, it is sin. If you know to do good, you see, I could stop here and go to meddling. Because if it's good to go to church on Sunday night and you don't do it, it would be sin. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to start meddling with you. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take that scripture, and you can apply it to yourself, or you can throw it over your shoulder and let it land on Gene or somebody like that. But He wants us to turn from our sins and our failure to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Again, from the words of our text, He is not asking the dope addict to give up his meth and his cocaine. He's not asking the drunkard to give up his whiskey. He's not asking the thief to stop stealing, or the robber to stop robbing, or the killer to stop killing. This isn't about to happen, and God knows it. So He's addressing His remarks to His people. If my people, He says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. God will meet us with open arms when we come back to Him. His love is a certainty. His mercy is a certainty. His grace is a certainty. And His forgiveness is a certainty. That's the kind of God we have. If my people, which are called by my name, let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together in the Word of God. We pray that as we look back into history and have seen the nations that have gone under, that have been destroyed, that have lost their power and their influence in the world, and we know why it happened and how it happened, and then we look at our own country here, we don't want that to happen to us. Our hearts go out to people in need. Don't let us become so hard-hearted and careless that we will deliberately bring judgment upon our nation, because our children have to live in it. And our children's children have to grow up in it. Yes. Heavenly Father, if there's one in this congregation today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today they will come to Him person to person and repent and receive Him as their Lord and their Savior that died on the cross for their sins. Father, if there are those today who have been convicted of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they know that their heart is not right with You, I pray that today will be the time when they will make things right with You. So speak to us today, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit minister to us through the word that's been preached, so that we may give You the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 487.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the
Will you come today?
And
this is your opportunity to come.
We'll surely give You rest by trusting in His word.
Will you come today?
Only
obey the Holy Spirit if He's speaking to your heart today.
Trust
Will you come?
Only trust Him now. He
Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation today. Appreciate each and every one of you being here. Come back again this evening for 6 o'clock and hear Brother Sam share the Word of God with us. Will you do that? All right. As we're dismissed in prayer, hope you have a good afternoon today. And Brother Raul, will you lead us, please, in our prayer? It was.
Check it, see. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us.